Amen. Well, let us go to the book of Mark. We're still talking about the growing of seed. Amen. Mark chapter 4, just a couple verses here. Start at verse 26. And this is Jesus talking, of course. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. So these parables that Jesus is talking about is pictures of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're people who believe in the kingdom. We preach the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God that cometh without observation. In other words, you don't always see these things in the natural, but it's a spiritual kingdom. Amen. And a kingdom that's not out there necessarily, but it's in here. Here in within us. So let us start with verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Amen. Now, by the way, I was just reminded, we had a visitor, a couple came to see us yesterday, and we were talking about the things of the past and some of the things that happened to their children over the years. And it came to my remembrance, this word here, that we cast seed into the lives of other people when we speak to them, when we live our life before them, and in particular in our own family, among our own children. Now we this is casting of seed into the ground of their soul. And cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, knoweth not how. So the seed itself, see, has the germination, the DNA, whatever you want to call it. It has the life in it, and all it needs is the right conditions, and it will bring forth. It'll bring forth death. It'll bring forth life. It's all a matter of what kind of seed you're going to plant. Amen? So, Lord, help us to plant the good seed of your word, the seed of life, into every place around about us. Amen? It says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of it of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So there's a progress that goes on. I remember there was a time in my life when I was receiving a crop that I didn't like at all. Amen. I was about 30 years old. Now I hadn't planted real bad seed, but it was bad enough that I didn't like the crop that was coming out. And the Lord showed, I said, well, and the devil began to lie and say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. The word of God says, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. So I said, okay, you're going to get a crop. No matter what you do, be not deceived. However, you can start planting a better crop. Amen. And sooner or later, that old crop is going to come to an end. It comes to its maturity. It's gone. Get rid of it and just live on that new crop that you're planting. All right, so let's go on. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. And of course, when I read that last part of it, he puts in the sickle immediately when it's mature. So this is what really happened back in the days of Sodom. Whatever the crop was that was going on in Sodom in those days came to a fullness. And the Lord said, that's it. We're going to harvest this thing off, and I'm going to get the good seed out of town. And the only one I can find that's worth bringing out would be Lot and his family. So again, the earth, practically the whole earth, came to some kind of a fullness in its wicked seed that was growing. And the Lord said, bring in a flood. We're going to get rid of it all except for Noah and his family. Now, there's another verse that's very similar to this that I discovered. I'll let you judge. I'm going to read it. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and it's the last verse. It's verse 11. It says, for the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now that's good news. Amen. The crop that's going to win in the end is righteousness. All right, let's go back to Matthew 13. There's a little bit more in that chapter that we might look at. And maybe we can just read a couple more verses here. Start in verse 24, I believe it is. Matthew, wait a minute, I got the wrong chapter in Matthew 13. All right, here we are. Now, in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, by the way, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the same kingdom. Amen. Don't try to make one mean something different than the other. Heard a brother try to do that one time, but you know what? They're the same thing. Just a different way of saying it. Amen. Is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. All right, now we know the good seed is the word of God. We know the sower, the original true sower is the Son of Man. It's Jesus Christ. Okay, and while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Well, where do the tares come from? They don't come from Jesus, amen. They come from the devil. And he's going up and down and to and fro in the earth, looking for any opportunity he can to bring havoc and to bring destruction, to destroy the foundation, to destroy the thinking of man. Anything that he can possibly do is what he's going to try to do. And now here we come with the growing. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said to them, this is the householder, this is the Lord bringing the response, an enemy. The enemy, amen. Who's the enemy? The enemy is the one who brings the opposition, the one who is always opposing, the one who is always trying. It's the thief, cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his game. No matter what kind of pleasure he throws at your way, that, oh, you can have such a good time, you can do this, you can do that. No, its sole purpose is killing and destruction. Amen. And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? So, in other words, the crop isn't at its full ripeness now, but we can begin to see now that there's something growing here that doesn't belong. All right. What should we do, Lord? Shouldn't we just go out? Now, you're going to have to understand, we're going to read the rest of this where he gives the interpretation, but this field is really the world. It's where we live. And should we go and pull up the tares now? Even though things aren't ripe, they're still growing. The tares are still growing. The wheat is still growing. It's just getting started, but we're beginning to see a difference now. All right, shouldn't we go and pull them up? And he said, no. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Amen. What's that mean? That means that our roots are entangled with people of the world. Now, you don't like to hear that. That's the truth. Some of them are your relatives. Amen. It might be your brother, your sister, your nieces, your nephews, your aunts, your uncles. People that you work with. Should you go and try to pull up the roots, pull them out? They're going to upset you too. They're going to pull your roots out too. Have you ever tried to do that? Sometimes in when the roots are entangled with you grow things in the garden. Well, pardon? Yeah. Well, at a certain point you can pull them out. But at a certain point of maturity, when you start pulling the weeds out, you're going to upset the things that you want to grow there. And this is especially tricky with something like wheat. You know, it's not like a great big old squash or something that's taken over half the garden. This is something small. And its roots, they tangle up in one another. And you know, sometimes when we get deliverance, we need to be taking care of all the roots and tentacles and everything else that's involved and cast it out. Well, okay, well here, let's go on. Let them both grow together until the harvest. All right, we're going to live in a world that's full of tares. Everything is going to be in the Lord. If anything is to be removed, the Lord will remove it. Otherwise, everything is going up until harvest. How many of you believe there's a harvest coming soon? How many of you believe that there's a certain maturity coming, both in righteousness and in unrighteousness? My goodness, as I look at the news, news all comes up on my phone these days. I don't have a TV, but I just see enough of it that I know that this world is going crazy. Crazier than I have ever seen in my life. Amen. All right, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, all right? So there's someone going to be involved here called reapers. We'll look at that when we get to the other part of this. There's reapers that are going to go and take care of the crop here. Gather ye together first the tares. All right, he's going to say this to the reapers. Gather together first the tares. Wait a minute. Remember this. It says first. Gather together first the tares. How does this fit with a pre-trib rapture doctrine? That doctrine says gather out the wheat first. This is the word of Jesus Christ. He says we're going to take care of the tares first. Amen. And bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there will be a gathering of wheat, but not first. All right, now let's go where he answers the question. The disciples come again. All right, they said, we don't understand everything here. Can you fill us in? Tell us what this all means. Amen. So let's go down to verse 37. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, lest we get our own interpretation that's wrong, let's get the interpretation that's right. Amen? And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Amen. So who's the Son of Man? Jesus. How many of you would believe that this is the good seed? Well, that's the written word, but when it's spoken, it's also the good seed. Amen. It has a life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. There's no other way to get in. All right. And the field is the world. Now that Greek word there is cosmos. There's two places where the word world is used here. On the one place, it means the cosmos, the natural world. And another place in the verse where it says the world, it means the age, the aeon. So in this place, we're talking about out there in the world where people live, okay? The society that we live in. So the field is the society that we live in. The seed are the good children of the word kingdom. I'm going to read it in the King James first, okay? The good children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, there's a little mistranslation here because the word here is hoios. It's not technon. The word is sons. So the word, if it were children, it would mean that they're still immature. What he's using here is the end time, the fullness of this thing, is the sons of the kingdom. Now let us say, brethren, that you are the sons of the kingdom. All right? We're preaching sonship. You're not outer court people, are you? You're holy place believers. We're sons of the kingdom. Amen. And as sons, you're going to thrive out there in the world, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the tares are around you, no matter how the tares are trying to suck life out of your roots, no matter how they're trying to crowd you out of the sun, no matter how they're trying to deceive you and get you to believe that they're the real thing. You're going to thrive, you're going to survive, and you're going to come to fruition. Furthermore, you're going to be a profitable servant. How many of you see the thing that was, you're on the mailing list of the sunlight? How many of you are on that mailing list? Just a couple. You know, you get a hold of Pavlina, you can all be on that mailing list. These are little words from Ducille, Sess, or his wife Mavis, and she had one this last week about a profitable servant. I thought it was a good little article. A profitable servant. Lord, we want to be profitable servants. We don't want to be an unprofitable servant. So there we are, out in the world, surrounded by tares, people we work with, people that are our boss, sometimes our relatives that don't want to believe. We're surrounded, but we're going to grow and we're going to come to maturity. Amen? Therefore, amen? Oh, okay, wait a minute. Let me back up here. So, sons of the kingdom and sons of the wicked one. Did you notice that Satan has sonship? There are people that are a little bit wicked, but there are people that are really wicked. And there are people that are so wicked that they're trying to bring this world into some other order, some new world order that is going to ultimately bring about what they think, well, Satan's end really is destruction. Destruction. All right. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Now, here's the word world means age, the end of the age. How many of you believe we're coming to the end of the age? Amen. there's a certain ripeness when I see things happening, when I see the murder that's going on. People get into a little bit of a debate, a little bit of an argument. Somebody pulls a gun. People trying to rob, little things that aren't worth anything, and they pull a gun and shoot. Oh my goodness, the spirit of murder, the spirit of killing, the spirit of sexual perversion, the spirit of transgender, getting into children. We were talking to a couple just recently. Just recently, their young daughter, all of a sudden she decided, oh, I want to be a boy. I don't want to be a girl anymore. Well, they kept praying. They kept praying. And you know what? She got involved with a guy. She got pregnant. And she married the guy. And now she wants to be a mother. She wants to be a woman. Well, praise God. I said, you know what? Prayer has power. You know, you keep praying, you can turn some of these things around. God hears the prayers of mothers. God hears the prayers of fathers. But I tell you what, we're living in an age when these spirits are so strong. I have never, ever believed that I would ever see these things. And there's more to come. But it's coming to a fullness, it's coming to a maturity. And the word that we read in the beginning in Mark, it says, and immediately he putteth in the sickle. God knows when that full maturity is going to come. And when it does, that sickle's going in. Oh my, we'll get to that in a little bit again here too. All right, the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the devil. First of all, let's look at the sons of the devil. We already read that verse. Immediately he putteth in the sickle. That's in Mark 4:29. Let's look at another one in Revelation 14. Amen. And another harvest that's given here in the book of Revelation. Brethren, these words coordinate and agree from all over the Word of God. There is agreement in the Word of God. Now, Revelation 14, if you look in verse 14, we're going to read a few verses here. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. You folks know what a sickle is, don't you? It's for cutting the crop. You know the old Russian symbol, the hammer and the sickle? That's what a sickle is. All right, but I hate to bring up communism, but anyway, they use the sickle as their all right. So there, he has a sharp sickle, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, amen? And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The angel is announcing to the Son of Man, the earth is ripe now, it's ready to reap. My, I wish I knew when that time would be. Sometimes I think it could happen anytime. Sometimes I think it could happen this year. Then when I hear these top generals talking to their men in these military camps and preparing them and saying we expect a war between the U.S. and Russia in 2025, so get prepared for it. You realize these things that are happening over in the Mideast between the, what do you call them, the Hutu rebels and Iran? This is Iran testing their weapons out. And the word is that they're learning. They're learning how to shoot these things. They're learning how to escape being shot down. They're getting some lessons out of this. So people are learning and preparing for war. The nations. The wicked nations, the Gentile nations. Amen? All right, so let's go on here. Reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. You notice the temple is in heaven? It's a heavenly temple. Amen. He also having a sharp sickle. Looks like we're going to get another harvest here. And another angel came from the altar. This is the golden altar now. Amen. Which had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe." Now, we've not got grain here, but this time we've got grapes. And when we have grapes, we have a symbol of something else, don't Amen. The crushing of the grapes is a symbol of blood. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Another harvest. The wrath of God. He's been holding back. He's been long suffering. He's been merciful. But there's something that just comes against his justice. Something is just irritating his justice to no end. I mean, he is a just God. He's a perfect God. He's a righteous God. And he's coming to where what's happening to his creation is just about more than he can take. Amen. And cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. He brought it outside of the city. Amen. Blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, this is not natural language. All right, men are not fighting battles with horses anymore. It's a figure of speech. To the horses' bridles. You know, we use that figure of speech sometimes. Maybe we're a little foolish to use it. But when it's raining hard, we say, "Oh, it's raining cats and dogs outside." Well, it's not raining cats and dogs. Or we used to say it's raining pitchforks and shovel handles. Well, that's another figure of speech. So to say there's blood up to the horses' bridles is a figure of speech. You could never have any blood that deep out on the battlefield. But it would be a flow of blood. I tell you, there's been some terrible, terrible bloody battles taking place. When I read about some of these battles where there are as many as 10,000 soldiers that are killed at one time, this is a terrible, terrible bloody thing, a terrible harvest of wickedness. All right, the sons of the devil. Let's look at the sons of the kingdom. Let's look at a few verses. Let's start in Romans, the 8th chapter. All right. Sons of the kingdom. Sonship. Amen. I went somewhere, we were talking about way years ago, went somewhere, we were talking about sonship. And they came to me afterward and said, we didn't want to hear any more about that word sons. I said, why? Well, they said, somebody was preaching something about it that wasn't true. And by the way, there is a preaching out there called Manifest Sons that is not a true doctrine. I hope none of you have heard that. You had to listen to that. Do you know what they're saying? This manifest sonship? I think they're still out there preaching it, but I don't go and find it anymore. What they're saying is that Jesus can't come back until we get everything straightened out here. And when we manifest ourselves as sons, then we can bring Jesus back. No, come on, we've got things in the wrong order. We got the cart in front of the horse. Let me read in Romans chapter 8, okay? Verse 19 first. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Maybe that's where they get their doctrine from. But there's some other things here. Let's go down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, we're not going to be able to bring this to pass on our own initiative, on our own effort, on our own strength. We're waiting for something to happen to us. God is going to have to do that, but we need to be prepared and we need to be ready for it. Amen? All right, let's take another verse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. You know what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. But here it is. Let's look at a few verses. Verse 20. Yeah, we're going to go over to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So we're talking about a harvest, a crop, the good seed, and the good seed is called the first fruits. We're the first fruits company, are we not? We're going to be anyway. Amen. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. You see, there's going to be an order of coming forth. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Well, now James has something to say about the first fruits. Let's look and see what Brother James has to say about it. James is kind of hard to find here, but if you find Hebrews, you can find it. There we are, James. Chapter 1, and it's going to be in verse 18. Well, let's do verse 17. It's a nice verse to go along with it. Or we'll start in 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How many of you know God doesn't change his mind about what's right and what's wrong? This fellow that told me that, he was deceived by a spirit of homosexuality. Somehow, well, this is the way God thought and the people thought way back there in the Old Testament, but God doesn't think that way anymore. Come on, you're going to write your own Bible if you don't like the one you've got? Well, that's what these versions are doing. They're dropping out words, they're adding words, they're changing words. Changes the whole meaning of what the Word of God says. We're going to have to get into that again sometime. Talk about the origin of the Word of God and what it means. Ancient words. Amen? All right. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits. A good harvest. First fruits. All right, I'm going to go back to Revelation 14 again. We were there just a minute ago. But let's go back and go to the beginning of Revelation 14. And we're talking about the 144,000. You see, there's many labels for sonship. There's the man-child company, there's the two-witness company, There's the 144,000 company. There's the first fruits company. Now, let me show you that it means the same thing here. I'll just read a few. We'll go to start at verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Harpers harping with their harps. Oh my goodness. You know what I believe is going on? These people are praising God. I think the harpers harping are going to be doing so with their own voices. They're not going to create a bunch of these created harps with a bunch of strings on them. This is going to be praise coming forth from God's people. Some of them are going to be, there's going to be gifted people there singing as if they were harps. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song. Here's a song that we're not going to get until we get there. This is a brand new song. Amen. Before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, defiled with harlot churches. That's what it means. There's nothing unclean about a woman unless she's a harlot. Amen? This is spiritual, symbolic language. They were not defiled with harlot churches. Amen? For they are virgins.
Yeah, I look for someone. My patient. How are you? A patient, how are you? Oh, you work in NHS. Okay.
I'm sorry, brother. I have to get you muted here.
Oh boy, how about?
Okay. Sorry. Now let's go on. Where were we? These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. All right, when you see a lamb, the Lamb of God, where's he going? What's the lamb all about? You see the Son of Man appearing as a lamb. You see him appearing on a white horse with a sword and ready for battle. That's different. But the lamb means what? The lamb means sacrifice. The lamb means laying his life down. So these are they who follow the Lamb. Do you want to follow the Lamb? Do you know where the Lamb is going? Okay, he's going to the cross. Now you're going to follow him on the white horse? That's something different. You're going out to battle. But now you're going to the cross. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. Out there in the field, amidst all the tares, redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. All right, let me go back to Matthew 13. Back there. And we need to understand what these tares really are. If you look them up, the word tares apparently is some kind of false wheat. It's called darnel wheat, right? I've never grown darnel wheat. I don't ever intend to. We never grew that on the farm. We just grew true oats and barley and things like that. But this is false wheat. So it isn't just the average weed. It isn't thorns, it isn't burdock, it isn't something with big ugly leaves on it. It's something that looks like wheat when it begins to grow. Mike, have you ever seen this stuff? Have you? You've actually seen Darnell wheat?
I haven't seen Darnell wheat, but I've seen other things that come up in oats that you can't hardly tell the difference until a certain time, and finally you can.
All right, so that would be the equivalent of Darnell wheat. All right, now it looks like the real thing at first, doesn't it? And I'm thinking about church business sometimes. Sometimes there's church preaching and all that. If you're naive and if you're without understanding, you can hear somebody preaching something and say, "Wow, that sounds like pretty good stuff." People are always referring me to this and that. Oh, this is a good word. Why don't you hear it? So I get into it and listen to it a little bit, and next thing I know, oh, I know where he's going. But you know what? If you're of shallow understanding, you're going to buy it, and you're going to say, "Well, that Darnell wheat's pretty good." It's in the church, brethren, the Darnell wheat. But you know what? There's coming a harvest that's going to declare what's true and what's not. My goodness, I can imagine what that harvest is going to look like. Some of these mega places that have got thousands of people listening to a false doctrine and buying it and very happy about it. But it's poison. Many will follow. What's it say in Matthew 24? Let's read a couple verses. Many will follow that poison Darnell wheat. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now that's not few. That word is many. That means they're going to have big churches, big following. Many. Back to verse 5 again, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." He didn't say few, he said many. Look in verse 24 here, Matthew 24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Some of them are going to be giving prophecies that sound pretty good. Great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Are we going to be among the very elect, brethren? This is going to be pretty clever. It might look good to you. You might say, "Well, that sounds pretty good." "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Behold, he's in Texas. Behold, he's in Florida. Behold, he's in somewhere in the big city of Nigeria. Behold, he is, oh, come on, all the behold, he's in Canada." Don't go after it. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but it's within your soul. Amen. All right, so we'll deceive many. Now, verse 39 here says, "The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." The reapers are the angels. I think these are real angels. I think these are heavenly angels, not just messengers on earth. I think these are heavenly beings. I don't think man can be trusted to know the difference when this harvest comes. If it were up to man, in our thinking, we'd get some good wheat into that bundle of tares to be burned. No, 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 no. We'd make mistakes. We don't really know clearly every time who's saved and who's not. We think we know by their fruit to some extent, but there's some things we don't know. We'll deceive many angels, the reapers. Oh, and then it says here in verse 41, and the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Now, here we go again. Gather out of the kingdom. What are we bringing out first? Bringing the tares out. Bringing out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. That word offend again is scandalizo. Scandal. We get the word scandal from it. We talked about that last week. All things that offend. I wonder what all is included in that. What kind of things offend the kingdom of God? Maybe you can comment on that later. So the tares are gathered first. Let's go to Matthew 24 again. We need to get another witness on this. Matthew 24, and we've read this so many times you know it by heart now, but let us read it. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, out there in the field, the tares, the wheat, they were all carrying on their activity. And knew not until the flood came and took them away. Who got harvested out here? Who got taken away? Amen. So shall it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. And then you know the rest. All right, let's go to Luke. Read the same verse in Luke, or similar. Luke 17, verse 37. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in a field, one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body or the carcass is, there will the eagles or vultures be gathered together. They're taken away and they're put into the fire. Verse 42, and shall cast them, back in Matthew 13, verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What kind of fire does that sound like? That's not just a fire of affliction, brethren. That's not just a fire to purify the gold. This is something else. This is a fire of destruction. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen? Wailing and gnashing, that's pretty severe. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. However, the good news here, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth. We have to look at both sides of the coin here. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The righteous shine forth. Let's go back to Matthew 24 again. and the righteous shining forth. Matthew 24, verse 31. Then shall he send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Over in the next chapter, 25, verse 21, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You have no idea what is included in many things. You have no idea. We have no idea what that means. Whatever it is, it's going to be very good. We're going to be very pleased. We're going to be very much at peace. Oh, we're going to enjoy the fruit of the kingdom and be glad that we made such a good choice. I have one more verse. It's in Revelation. Revelation 5. And it'll be verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9. They're singing that new song again. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. See, we're redeemed. Amen. We're brought out of that field. Maybe we had a tares life at one time. We're brought out of it. Amen. Redeemed unto us, redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That pretty well covers it. There's going to be a little bit taken from everywhere. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This whole earth might be carnal, but it's going to be changed. It's not going to be an old carnal thing anymore. It's going to obey the laws of the Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think that's about all I have for today. Let me shut the recordings off.